For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jared Bailey joins the show, covers the Steelers well. He's also fellow Believe Network podcaster here. So great to have him aboard, talking Steelers, talking a few other topics as we get through here. One of the more interesting teams, Jared, which is why I wanted to have you on. And you also talked about breakout players for 2024. I actually want to start there because one of your recent articles, you give breakout players. You had some success last year. Obviously, it's an annual tradition for you. Is there one of the offensive players? I didn't want to lead you down one specific bucket, but one that you kind of wanted to highlight here. And obviously, they can come catch the rest of your article for all the breakout players.
In terms of the offensive guys, the Patriots are a team that excites me a little bit. So, I talked about Jalen Polk in the article. They've been rather stagnant offensively over the past couple seasons, and now they've really gone through this whole makeover in the offseason. So Jalen Polk, receiver for the Patriots, I think is due for a nice season as a rookie. I also touched on Bryce Young a little bit in the piece. So yeah, second annual all breakout team over on Touchdown Wire for USA Today. Go and read that, everybody.
Love that. And yeah, you got a really spicy running back one. So we'll leave that for the readers post show here. But yeah, I love that Jalen Polk call. He's going pretty cheaply, among dynasty and fantasy folks, and it's wide open wide receiver one there. So if they get adequate, decent, middling quarterback play, I think there's gonna be a wide receiver one role to be had for Polk there. Love that one. Talking about the Steelers here, and let's go to George Pickens, just to start, because they've got a lot of questions around their passing game. But George Pickens is the least question mark player, but he's been much maligned in terms of people expect better. They talk about contested catches. They want, I guess, the world. And he's produced less than that. So it's weird to say that he's been successful, yet some people view him as a disappointment. What's kind of your prism for the Steelers here, as there's a lot of pressure on him to be a true wide receiver one this year?
Yeah, I mean, my thought process or my thoughts on him overall is that he's a very, very good number two. And he does a select few things very well. Obviously, the contested catches downfield, he's tremendous at that. One of the best in the league at turning, 50-50 balls into 70-30 balls. So making contested catches, making outstanding catches look easy. And also in the few times where they put him in the slot last year or just gave him the ball, quickly after the snap on, whether it be a slant or a drag or something of that nature where he can get yards after the catch, he's very good at doing that as well. The biggest drawback with Pickens is that he's not, a route technician, not a guy who's going to win off the line of scrimmage. And as a wide receiver one, the Steelers need him to be more of that. And he got better, certainly, especially in the back half of last season, becoming, more of that winner as a route runner. And he's been working the offseason with, the route god. I can't remember his actual name, but a lot of clips went viral on Twitter and TikTok and things of those two working together. So he's very evidently taking this new role very seriously and trying to get better in, the places in his game that weren't necessarily his strength. So not to say that he can't become more of a refined route runner. He certainly can. Like I said, he got better at it in the latter parts of last season. And even when Deontay Johnson was hurt last year, they had to really rely on Pickens more, and he didn't fail to rise to the occasion. So I do think that, he's going to continue to get better. We've seen general progression over his first two seasons, and now with Deontay Johnson no longer there, they're going to rely on him more as that number one target in the offense. So if he can continue getting better as a route runner, I think that he can be looked at more as a true number one rather than just a really, really good number two who does a lot of really nice things.
So it sounds like he still has a lot to prove to you personally, to go from that. Again, there's a lot of number two-ish type guys floating around the NFL, but the true game changers and guys that tilt the passing game, all around guys, there's not that many, and there's not 32. So it sounds like Pickens, still a couple things you want to see route running wise and route tree wise this year. And he certainly should have a golden opportunity and maybe run some of more of those Deontay Johnson routes.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to become more of like the intermediate winner. And that's the thing. Like, again, he was more of a, all right, you know, he'll get a deep catch, you know, down the sideline, or he'll take a shorter reception to get yards after the catch. He's got to be able to win in the intermediate. But again, it's not going to be George Pickens or bust. I mean, that's why they drafted Roman Wilson, who can really win in the intermediate. That's what he did at Michigan, was just tons of in-breakers and crossers. And that's what they're going to utilize him, the role that they're going to utilize him in, you know, especially in a Arthur Smith offense that's going to be, you know, run the ball early to set up second and medium, second and shorts, and then set up play action passing that'll open up the middle of the field and the deep portions of the field. So they're going to lean into what George Pickens does well, especially in the play action passing game. They're going to lean into what Roman Wilson does well. So I'm not too necessarily worried about Pickens. I think he's going to continue to be really good. I think Roman Wilson is going to be good. And then whomever they bring in on the opposite boundary, because, you know, I think that they're still going to try to acquire a receiver, whether that be, you know, a Courtland Sutton or a Treylon Burks, somebody of that nature. There's going to be somebody else on the opposite side of him to complement those two. So I'm not too worried about Pickens, about Wilson, about the passing game as a whole, because the bar is so low in terms of what it was last year, where they didn't have competent quarterback play until Mason Rudolph came in. And even then, everybody knows, okay, Mason Rudolph, great month, but he's not a franchise answer. Having a real offense now under Arthur Smith, having real quarterbacks in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, like, I'm not worried about what it'll look like. I don't think it'll be an elite offense, but can it be, you know, a top 17, 18 offense? Sure.
It actually seems like Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, whatever percentages you get, you know, total dropbacks between the two of them, is kind of a good fit for what they got cooking. You know, like my premise is I'm scared of this wide receiver two plus depth chart a little bit. You got Van Jefferson, that frightens me. If he gets significant snaps on this offense, like that's not good for anybody, as the quote goes. Roman Wilson's a rookie, so we'll see. He'll have a golden opportunity. Calvin Austin's been hurt. You know, he's been hurt and he really hasn't shown much when the Steelers have gotten a lot right in the mid rounds, and he is not one of them so far. But I think, you know, two questions. So you kind of alluded to it in terms of that wide receiver two battle. Sounds like they might even bring someone in. I know you alluded to Courtland Sutton as someone that's still out there. But I also think, what do you think about more two tight end packages? You know, they spent a good pick on Darnell Washington. Do you think we see more of that? Freiermuth was hurt last year. So they just getting more production out of tight end in general might be one of the recipes beyond George Pickens this year.
Yeah, they're absolutely going to use more heavier type packages. And when you look at especially early downs last year, the Falcons ran a ton of two tight end sets. They led the NFL in 22 personnel on first down last
Jonnu
year.
Smith. I mean, Jonnu
Right.
Smith was eating, and all Kyle Pitts owners were upset about that.
Right. And if you look at, so like 22, for example, with two tight ends and two running backs, the Falcons led the NFL in that category on first down. The Steelers didn't run a play out of 22 last year. So we're going to see mostly
No
the
matter what,
Steelers.
more.
Yeah. So the Steelers like lived a lot in 11 personnel, where it was Freiermuth on the field, or if they did go 12 personnel, you know, obviously Darnell Washington was mainly there for blocking. So, and from what I've seen, you know, in being at OTAs this past Thursday, and you know, going back this week, they're going to be versatile with how they use Freiermuth. Like, if you look at Kyle Pitts' snap percentage last year, I think 14% of his snaps or something like that, he was like predominantly a slot receiver. So there's going to be a nice balance of Freiermuth being, you know, a hand in the and the dirt tight end, but also, you know, being more of a power slot receiver. I think that Darnell Washington is going to get more looks as a receiver. He's 6'8" and athletic as hell, like especially in the red zone, man. Find a way to use him. Like, if
I'm
you can.
imagining him on play action. You know, they start with a heavy package on first down. They run a couple times early in the game on first down. Then they give the hard fake, and Darnell Washington's running like a deep over and gets lost, you know. And I just picture chunk plays from Russell Wilson coming out of this offense from that package.
Absolutely. And even if you know, it's a third and two situation, you know, you run a play action and have, you know, Washington leak into the flat for an easy first down. Like, little things like that are going to help this offense a lot this season. And, you know, you talk about the receivers like Van Jefferson. Yeah, I mean, that's a guy who's basically there to be a glorified assistant coach to help install the offense and be, you know, the fourth receiver on the offense. If Van Jefferson's your fourth receiver, you can live with that. Or, you know, your third to fifth receiver, not necessarily the guy I'd want to be the third receiver. But again, I think Pat Freiermuth is basically going to be like the number two or number three receiver in the offense. Calvin Austin, like, he's fast, but there's a lot of guys that are fast. He's also very small and Well, when you combine, you look at like the recent list of guys who are his size, you know, it's a lot of, you know, Rondale Moores and guys of that nature who had a lot of hype coming out of school, but haven't really found, you know, any sort of like big success. And I think that there's ceilings for guys like that at this level now. So I'm excited for the passing game, though, you know, specifically the play action and the deep balls. Just some, I wrote a piece on Russell Wilson and why he could work in the offense. So just some numbers that I pulled from that piece real quick. In terms of deep ball passing last year, so passes of 25 or more air yards, Russ was fourth in completions, third in yards, fourth in touchdowns. So there's obviously still something there. And that's not to say that Russ is going to be, you know, turning back time to 2021 where he threw 40 touchdowns or 2020 where he threw 40 touchdowns. But can he be fine? Yeah. And if he's fine, then that's still a ginormous upgrade over what the Steelers have had in recent memory.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry. Only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands. All hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Yeah, what was kind of the feeling of the Kenny Pickett era? Obviously, he goes to a clear backup role with the Eagles, but was this in terms of like he's got to go? What was the vibe as last season was progressing? They moved to Mason Rudolph, and now they clean sweep, you know, and bring in two new quarterbacks, two fresh quarterbacks from what they had previously. You know, just a couple sentences. What do you think about that Pickett era and like that pick? Obviously, you know, he slides down in the draft and then they take him almost out of like obligatory fashion. And then it kind of ends up shoulder shruggy like you would expect out of that pick, out of the profile, out of that physical upside that he frankly didn't have.
Yeah. I'm like legitimately, I'm going to get the screenshot of Adam Schefter tweeting that he was traded. I'm going to get it framed. It's one of my favorite days as a fan. Like I was so close to quitting, man. I was so close just being like, you know what? This team just doesn't have any clear aspirations of winning. I'm not going to devote my time to this. Obviously,
get to 9-8, baby. Just get to that winning record.
Exactly. You know, like obviously I love football and I was still, you know, I'm very happy to be able to cover the NFL for a living. I would have just focused more on the Bills because Josh Allen's my favorite player. At that point, I would have just been a de facto Bills fan. I was done. I couldn't suffer through another year of that. And so really all of this started like the divide between Pickett and the Steelers. It started at the end of last year when Mason Rudolph played really well. He put up a ton of points against the Bengals. It was the first time they'd scored 30 points since it's the first time they scored 30 points all season. And it's the first time that they had had a passer rating that high since Ben Roethlisberger in like 2018. Like it was the best quarterback performance the Steelers have had in a while. And so the Steelers,
it probably doesn't rub a first round pick the right way.
No. And well, you know, the plan was, okay, Rudolph will play in the game against the Bengals. Kenny Pickett will be healthy, come back against Seattle. Well, Rudolph played really well and they weren't going to bench him. So they started Mason Rudolph. Kenny Pickett didn't like that and he refused to dress as a backup. And that was reported by the great people at Steelers Now. And after the trade had went down, it was more or less confirmed by more sources, throughout that, oh yeah, he refused to dress. And then once they signed Russell Wilson, it was, made known that Russ was going to be what Mike Tomlin called the pole position, where he was going to be the starter going into the season. Kenny Pickett didn't like that. So he wanted to move on. They traded him to Philly and I'm happy. I think that's basically what, to define the Kenny Pickett era, the best part of it was the fact that he got traded. And that day, I will carry that joy with me for, you know, anytime I'm feeling a little bit down, I'll just kind of pull up that screenshot and just be like, all right, you know, could be worse. So that was the Kenny Pickett era in a nutshell. He was bad, man. He's not good.
And what'd you think of the two moves that they brought in their quarterbacks? They found, you know, obviously Russell Wilson, they're paying a minimum, you know, that basically Denver said, we're going to pay you to play in our conference somewhere else. And then Justin Fields, a lot less of a trade compensation package than expected coming out of Chicago. Were you a big fan of both moves, one move? And then ultimately, again, getting to the pinnacle quarterbacks here, is how do you expect this year to play out in terms of Russell Wilson almost a lock to be week one? Does he have to? I mean, this team is going to be pretty good, you know, probably middle of the road at worst. So does he play bad enough to lose, quote unquote, lose the job to Justin Fields at any point?
I think it's certainly possible. And I don't even necessarily think he has to, you know, play horribly. You know, last year the Steelers were 6-3 and then they lost to the Browns. And Kenny Pickett played god awful that game. And they were 6-4. And there was murmurs that they were going to bench Pickett then, like before he even got hurt. Obviously they didn't, they fire Matt Canada instead. But even if the offense isn't what they want it to be, like they can still win games, especially in the early part of the season where, you know, they're facing a lot of teams and winnable games. So let's say at the bye week, they're, you know, 5-3 or 6-3. I think their bye week's week 9. So let's say they're, you know, 5-3 or 4-4 at the bye, still very much in a playoff race, but the offense isn't quite what they want it to be. They come off the bye facing the Commanders. I mean, that's a pretty winnable game against a rookie quarterback, a rookie head coach. Well, I guess technically not a rookie head coach, but, you know, a new head coach in Washington with a lot of new faces. And if you're the Steelers saying, look, man, like we kind of know what Russ is at this point. We've got this 25, 26-year-old athletic freak that we acquired for a reason. Let's make the change. And even if they don't, you know, end up switching to Justin Fields as a starter, I would assume they're going to have, you know, a handful of players like a Justin Fields package, just because that fits Arthur Smith's offense like a glove in terms of the style of player that he is. It would just make sense to use him at least a few times a game. So I think the best case scenario, Russell Wilson plays really well. They don't have to make, you know, a big quarterback switch. I think worst case scenario, Russ doesn't play all that well. They switch to Justin Fields and maybe get something from him and see that he's the franchise answer, or, you know, both of them aren't great. Okay, you didn't spend hardly any money on either of them. You go into next year and try to find another new quarterback, and maybe you swing bigger. Like Dak Prescott might be available next year. If this doesn't work out and Dak Prescott's a free agent, hey, we've seen Omar Khan isn't afraid to make moves. You know, maybe the Steelers dip their toe in the Dak Prescott pool and see if they can swing him. So obviously a lot of dominoes have to fall between now and then for that to happen, but I think that this is very much a win-win for the Steelers.
Yeah, I love how they took two shots. You know, that a lot of teams don't take two shots. They take one, and then they fail miserably if that one doesn't work out, at least until they recycle. And they have two legitimate shots they could have beyond this year if they choose. And if neither one works out, guess what? They're probably going to have a high enough pick to at least have some flexibility, like you said, or Dak Prescott or others could be looming out there. I wanted to ask about the running back split, because Jaylen Warren is the type that it feels very Tony Pollard-esque, that everyone clamors for the backup. Warren's played enough that he's got juice. Najee Harris notably does not have juice, but he has first round pedigree. What are the vibes kind of like? It's been very frustrating when you look at the split in terms of trying to find a bell cow here, a workhorse, a predictable workload between the two. But it feels like Najee Harris, round one, you know, is going to get a lot of allegiance through his contract. It's still there, but it's coming to a close soon. Jaylen Warren, no pedigree, but playing, you know, huge ball considering his lack of pedigree. So what do you kind of assess here in the backfield in terms of the internal vibes?
No, I think that Jaylen Warren's the better back. There's just an explosiveness that he has that Najee Harris doesn't. And, you know, whenever you say that to like a Steelers fan, their immediate rebuttal is, oh, they complement each other. And sure, but like Jaylen Warren is just visibly better. Like he gives
a complimentary back thing like we used to, right? Like it's basically backups are considered starters if the top guy was out. They don't have like a third down 180-pound guy and then a 230-pound early down. Like we don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty rare. I mean, there was a few instances in like the late 2000s. You had what Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams was a pretty good example of that. Chris Johnson and Lendale White. But I think the Steelers kind of want to have one of those. But they also declined Najee Harris's fifth-year option, which more or less kind of tells you how they feel about both of them, because Jaylen Warren's going to be a restricted free agent after this year. They're not going to pay both running backs. And I feel like their mindset is, well, we can get Jaylen Warren and keep him around for cheaper, so we're going to do that. And it makes sense from a business standpoint. And people like Steelers fans, like a lot of Najee Harris truthers are pointing, oh my goodness, he has three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. He's averaged over 4 yards a carry once. Like a lot of that is just
the big plays are not there. Like he's the type of back that, I mean, then when he gets in the open field, you know, the play is going to die pretty soon. Like that's what happens. It reminds me of AJ. Like if you've watched AJ Dillon, it's the same sort of thing where it's like big back every once in a while, he just bowls a guy over, but you look at the net result and it's like, well, he turned 5 yards into nine. This is not the NFL that, you know, is conducive for that type of game anymore. You know, you need to break the tackle at five. And Jonathan Taylor, like house call it, like that's what's actually making a difference at the running back position. And Harris just doesn't, for some good that he has, he doesn't have that.
Yeah, and again, that's not to say that Najee Harris is a bad running back. He's right. Not, but he's also not a great running back.
No fifth year option. It sounds like you'd be really surprised if they bring him back. And if they did bring him back, it'd be like, well, he's explored free agency, and he's going to come back on like a short term and lower cost deal because he didn't get what he wants and maybe he just wants to stay there or something. So
exactly.
That's what you would expect.
That's exactly what I expect. Like he's absolutely going to hit the open market and, you know, we'll see what teams are in that much need of a running back, but I don't think he's going to get ginormous money because again, like he doesn't have that explosive degree to his game. And, you know, my boss at USA Today, Doug Farrar, has a great saying about Najee Harris. He's like, if you need 3 yards, Najee Harris will get you 3 yards. If you need 5 yards, Najee Harris will get you 3 yards. So it's just kind of one of those things, man, where like he's fine, but you know, there's clearly, you know, an element that he doesn't quite have that you want in today's game.
Do you think they're going to use up Najee Harris? Hey, last year of his contract, we didn't pick up the fifth-year option. We have zero allegiance to him. Do you think this is the year they could actually turn the page and be a lot more heavy towards Jaylen Warren? Or do you think it's going to be more of the same of what we saw?
No, I mean, I think that they plan on using him, you know, the same way that they have. I mean, the carries might be a little bit more even, but no, if Najee Harris is there, they're going to take advantage of it, especially because, like, for any shortcomings that he may have, the one biggest quality in his favor is that he stays on the field. He doesn't get injured. He's played in every game of his career thus far. So they're going to take advantage of that. And I think that in a, you know, outside zone heavy scheme with Arthur Smith, I think that could fit to what Najee Harris, you know, does well. Arthur Smith himself said that they were going to try to include, you know, a little bit more versatility in the offense, which means, you know, a little bit more gap scheme runs as well, because there's a lot of, you look at the Steelers offensive line, a lot of them are really athletic and good in space. So I think we're going to see a healthy balance of the styles of run that the Steelers have, and that's going to complement both Harris and Warren to what they do, you know, respectively well.
Excellent. Looking forward to more two tight end sets and looking forward to, again, a balanced offense. We've always had that. And I think the quarterbacks are a great fit to have that run heavy attack, as you mentioned, continue and maybe even more success than the Pickett era. Jared Bailey, thanks so much for coming on, sharing your time and talents here. Steelers focus in this episode, but where can folks find you after this episode with content you've already got in the hopper since the draft and what you got to come?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at JBaileyNFL. That's also my YouTube handle as well. Getting close to 1,000 subs. I do a daily Steelers show over on the YouTube, and then stream every episode of my national pod, The Pump Fake, which is usually at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. So you can watch all of that there. I'll post clips from each show as well on the YouTube. So listen to The Pump Fake wherever you get your podcast. You can watch it on YouTube, and then watch Black and Gold Breakdown, my Steelers show over there as well. Talked about it a little bit earlier. My 2024 all breakout team, that's over on USA Today, as well as a bunch of other stuff in terms of top 36 quarterbacks, 35 quarterbacks, 35 non-football comparisons. So a lot of that type of stuff right now. A few feature stuff on some rookies. So yeah, a lot of good stuff over at Touchdown Wire for USA Today.
Excellent. Jared Bailey coming on the show. I am Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, but keep building those dynasties.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.